Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Sammy Joe.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Shoot, Salty Saul. What's cracking over in the PA right now? What's good? What's good, homie?
It's hot. It is damn hot. It's hot and humid. We're getting the weather now. Hey, you know what? But I'll take this for like 2 months in a year. No problem.
All you getting day. Them rolling blackouts yet?
I actually haven't had rolling blackouts the whole time I've been here. So thank God, but knocking on wood. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, who wants a horse or an alpaca?
Ooh.
Or anybody? the Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, or Amber Turd saga continues in this final week. They're on the final lap, and things have gotten, to say the least, very interesting. I'm going to share some of that with you guys. And the reason we're going to talk about this is because I believe this is a microcosm of society, the society we live in today. And so it's been beautiful to watch some of the highlights, some of the funny moments, and some of the outright what the fuck moments in this whole thing. So we're going to cover all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Welcome back, everybody. We took a break.
When we say break,
it, technically it was a break. Everybody was busy, I guess. Outside of me and Tim, we got shit to do, but the rest of the crew got busy with life, and so that happens.
If people ever got to see us trying to coordinate what day we could do a show, it is like
it's
pulling
tough.
Teeth.
It's tough. Sammy was moving.
Say you deal with two of us that have two, you know, Sammy and I both with kids and families and businesses and
Jeremy doesn't have a family?
And, huh?
Yeah, I feel like Jeremy ain't involved in it.
Jeremy would put everything aside to do podcasting. Podcasting is like his top priority list thing.
Boom. That's what men do.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just it is what it is.
If women complain,
be a man. Yeah.
He was not happy that I was like, sorry, I can't podcast. We have a floor to lay.
You know, with everything that's been going on, Heidi, I think we well deserved a healing with Heidi moment.
I hope
you brought something because I need a little healing. Yes, Musa. So what do you got for us, Heidi? What's going on?
Here we go. Let's do some healing. All right. So I did try and kind of align this to what our topic is today, too.
Okay, good.
All right, here we go. Want to know the secret of getting rich? It's easy. You just need to remember this. Friendships are priceless. Time is invaluable. Health is wealth, and love is a treasure. Count your blessings. Invest in your dreams. Profit from experience. Share your good fortune and spend your hours wisely each day. Someday, we'll all look back at our lives and realize that it's actually kind of funny, discovering that the things we valued most had absolutely nothing to do with money.
Hmm. Well, look, money the expression, money doesn't buy happiness. Yeah, but it makes things easier. You know what I mean? Like, it does.
Amen. I was just about to say, you beat me to it, right? You know, money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure as hell helps getting happy, because if you're not stressing about money, you know what I mean? You should be able to build on other things.
Okay, but I think that money is a stressor regardless of how much you do or don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, our topic today is going to be a prime example of that, right? Like, money keeps coming up in this fight of, and we're talking millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. And they're freaking bitching and moaning and whining over what, $7 million in one instance. And I mean, give me a break.
But she also ruined like, his life.
Okay. But hold on. That's like us in our worlds now. I mean, there's a lot for us to feel rich about, and we're not fighting over $1,000. We're, you know, I don't get Sammy me wrong. The pressure is definitely there financially. I mean, to go to the gas pump today and put $5 a gallon into a 35 gallon tank is
Joe Biden.
painful, right? Exactly. Yeah. can I get an FJB?
Real quick, we're not talking politics, but the fact that you mentioned gas, $5 in the tank and fuck Joe Biden. You see those TikTok videos or the real videos where it's like they have the guy from when you're auctioning, he's like,
yeah, yeah. The auctioneer.
Yeah. $100, yeah. You know, and you're watching the gas prices go up on the car. It's fucking hilarious. He's like, give me 100, 200, 300. And you just see people just like, fuck you.
But I you know, the, we have, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world right now that is overpowering us. And yeah, money makes things easier. But at the same time, we're still struggling even when we make good money because of the lifestyle we choose, because of that money we're making. So yes, but setting aside that too, there are a whole lot of other things in life that make us rich and make us wealthy as people.
To your point, Heidi, it is so true, because the rich today are not, they're not procreating. They're not. I mean, this is a statistic that we all agree with. And to the point, what you just read, sometimes there's more important things in life. And there hasn't been, and I don't want to get into the abortion issue, but there, you know, people who say, oh, I regret, you know, having my children, you know, very rare, I guess you can, there are some crazies out there who do that, but there's something wrong in the head. And so to your point, you know, you go to your grave and you don't take anything. You don't take any of that with you.
And you can't take the dollar in your pocket. You can't. And I guarantee when we're laying on our deathbed someday, the thing we're not going to be thinking about is, oh, how much money is going into the grave with me? No, it's what was the mark I left on my family, on my friends, on this world? Well, and did I do everything that I wanted to do? I mean, people used to make bucket lists, and I don't know that people do that anymore. I don't know that people look at life and go, I want to do these things before I die. I've made a shit ton of mistakes in my life, but I always say, and I will always say, I'm not going to be one of those people that lays on my deathbed and goes, I wish I would have done that. I did it, and I know how it turned out. Thanks. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, I just, so...
Yeah, I don't think
make the most and cherish what you have, even if they're loud and obnoxious. And
shut the fuck up. I don't think a lot of people have bucket lists anymore, because look at life. I mean, dude, we're in May. Okay, we're at the end of May
already.
Time
it's
goes
crazy.
By so fast. When especially you know when you have your career, all right, that's moving 100 miles a minute, right? Especially for what we all do. You start in January. Next thing you know, it's the end of the year. You're getting ready to start the whole process over again, right? You know, then you go into, then you got kids, you know, taking them to this, taking them to that. Oh, soccer's done this. But by the time you're done, you're like, shit, the whole year went by and I did nothing for myself or, you know, anything, because we were so busy, right? Busy doing this, busy doing that, sometimes keeping up with the Joneses, you know, and you just, by the time, you know, 60 comes, you know, you're like, shit, I don't have the strength to go want to do everything that I wanted to do when I was 40, you know, 30, 40 years old.
Well, I'm going
to
be like Aunt Nell. I refuse to
time,
do that.
You know, well, time
I think
and health.
Too, it's like, it's, I think this is a good reminder just about being intentional. Like you said, the time is flying by. We're about to be in June. What have we even done this, you know, this year till up until this point? And now we're staring down the barrel of, you know, 7 more months or whatever. And so it's just a good reminder to say, okay, like, let me start being intentional about what I want to do. And maybe right now I make that list. Or so I hope that encourages people out there to like, do it, you know, and ourselves, like, next time I'm going to find out what y'all bucket list is. So
you have to take time for yourself, because, you know, we all spend time doing things for everybody else, right? When you work for a company, right? I know you don't, Heidi, but you work for yourself, but you're still always, you're putting in all this time and meeting deliverables and sacrificing everything for somebody else. You know, think about how much energy you put into your job. If you would put just a tenth of that energy into yourself, you would have a much richer life.
I think there's more to it too than just that. But, you know, my mother-in-law the other day said to Jeremy and I, so are you guys going to actually like stop and take a vacation this summer? Like stop and spend some time together and just the two of you get away and go and do something. And I would love to do that. And that's exactly what my point is. You know, it's always, oh, well, we'll do it tomorrow or we'll do it next year or we'll plan it in a month or we'll whatever. And the time's going to be gone and there won't be tomorrow. There won't be a month. There won't be, you know, and I know, again, go back to money. Money's this big pressure. Well, we don't have the money. Okay, but are we making it a priority to make sure that it's there? Or, and is that really the case? And to Ezzy shaking his head, the answer is no. No, it's not the priority. It's not the thing that's important. And one day, we're going to be laying there on our deathbed, sitting there on the couch going, God, I wish I would have just taken that minute. Because there's no excuse. It could be done. Everybody in the world can do it.
He's going to be looking at you going, I hate you. You fucking ruined my life.
Oh, wow.
I'm playing.
Oh, my God.
I was going to pick on you guys until you fucked with me today. So, fair game.
Who fucked with you? I actually was complimenting you.
It's literally excuses every time.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right. Okay. Well,
anyways,
Heidi, thank you for that. I think that is a moment to reflect and, focus on the important things in life. Don't be selfish. Like somebody called me this week. I guess I'm selfish, guys, but I'm working on myself.
You can't say something like that and not tell us.
You're okay to be selfish.
I'm on a journey. I am selfish. Hey, I'm looking out for number one. Anyway,
I do things for other people, but I'm not.
I know. I'm with
you. Got no
Sam
kids?
Joe,
wait, hold on, hold on. But, you got no kids, so the only person that and no wife, the only person you answer to is yourself,
right?
Well, if you decide that's clear
evidence that I am selfish, and I'm like, we can come to that conclusion. I haven't gotten pets because I don't want to freaking deal with them. I haven't,
Wait. Someone called you selfish because you didn't want to get a pet?
No, I'm not even going to get into it, guys. Let's just move on. Samantha.
Oh, no. We're staying right here. We're parked.
Okay. He needs to tell us when we're done. Clearly, it's not a podcast story.
Yeah, it's not a podcast
story. Next up.
The whole point of a podcast is you got to lay your dirty fucking laundry out there without naming names.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to this. The Johnny Depp defamation or libel case.
Defecation.
Basically, it's what it's been because all the bullshit that's been happening. Again, Amber Heard.
Are we all team Johnny? I'm just curious. Are we all team Johnny?
Yeah.
Definitely. I am. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So what's happening?
I'm team Amber. Hashtag me too.
He's been seeking for, but what he's looking for is $50 million in damages. Heidi, when you were talking about million, no, it's,
yeah.
He's seeking $50 million and she's seeking $100
million. Yeah. But $7 million was the settlement that she was supposed to donate to whatever that donation organization is. And that was this week when
the
I was listening
ACLU
to it. That was
and some children's hospital.
Yes.
So let me lay the groundwork and then we'll discuss on some of the stuff that happened. All right. So basically, Amber Heard accused Johnny Depp of domestic abuse after she filed her divorce back in 2016. Now, he claims that after she did that, it was basically she defamed him. And when she wrote, because what happened is that she, not only did she divorce him, shows up to court with a bruise of face, supposedly, allegedly, right? And then TMZ is there conveniently to, take pictures and send it out to the world, right? And so what he claims is that, hey, she basically ruined my career back when she did that. And then she published the story on the Washington Post where she basically laid it all out. She claimed she was a survivor of domestic abuse. And the thing is that she didn't mention Johnny Depp anywhere in the article. But the tabloids ended up coming to that conclusion because they said, well, she was married with this guy, separates from him. She ends up bruising the face because TMZ recorded it. And so the article was published right when she was going to come out with, guess what movie? The movie that brought her out to the world. Tim, you know which one it is.
Aquaman.
Aquaman was released. And she probably, she garnered some views because of that. And I think what she was trying to do is, again, we're speculating here, is she was trying to create publicity so that she could get, become basically bigger than what she was. That's what the Johnny Depp attorneys are alleging, right? And so, again, the idea is that no publicity is the bad publicity, right? And so this turned Depp into basically an outcast, right, in Hollywood, where they dropped him from everything. He was going to be coming out in that, like you guys said the other time, on that, was it Harry Potter? He was going to be coming
Pirates
out
of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's also Pirates of the Caribbean and the Harry Potter, both of them.
Right, right. So basically, he became a pariah because Hollywood didn't want the backlash, basically. So her defense is now arguing that this was an issue. Her writing this article is an issue on the First Amendment and the rights that people have to express their opinion. And so then that's the issue here. Is there a First Amendment right, or is this borders or crosses into being libel? Because he's saying she lied, and she lied in her counterclaim against them. Again, $100 million that she wants. And so she claims that Johnny Depp, his surrogate, put out the story out there about her and lying and all this, and all, this has caused her some stress, and now she can't. She's also a pariah in Hollywood. So they're both claiming the same thing of damning each other's reputation, and now here is the case. So then again, her counterclaim is going to be decided in this same trial. So they've kind of combined both of them, his claim and her counterclaim. Now, let's get into what happened or what they're claiming. She claims that on multiple occasions, Johnny Depp punched her, slapped her, kicked her, choked her, and all these things. Yeah, yeah. And so she
sounds
so
like they were having good sex.
Pulled her hair out at one point. She was missing.
That's what that
of
sounded
hair.
Like. You know what I mean? Yeah. She seems like that kind of woman.
So again, and then according to her, he would become jealous. And she called him a monster, right? She described him as being a monster after taking drugs and, getting, drunk in alcoholic. She basically calls him an alcoholic, and even that he threatened to kill her. Again, she alleged all this in court. Like, I've been watching it, and I normally don't watch this kind of stuff. I really don't. You know, anybody who's known me, I kind of avoid live, or what is that called? What is that like? Live
reality TV.
Reality TV show.
There's like a rom-com gone wrong.
Oh man, but I've kind of been glued to it because I don't know. I guess the whole thing fascinates me about how this happened under this new era that we're in, this new wokeness era and believe all women era, and I think again this is a microcosm of a culmination of all that bullshit that was happening. You guys remember this, right? Believe all women. Remember Justice Kavanaugh, right? There was this whole movement that a woman
Trump
came out and said,
pussy.
I was looked at wrong. Yeah, exactly. That's it. You're a womanizer. You're this, and you're hate women and believe all women. And it was this stupid idea. So again, this is why I've been kind of fascinated about this whole freaking thing. And I'm like, I'm seeking for justice, and I feel that it's coming. So in one particular instance, she claims, this is, again, I'm going to get into what happened. So she claims that during a trip to Australia back in 2015, she said that Johnny Depp dragged her across the floor, punched her, kicked her. And then, and this is was her acting moment on the stand, she alleges that he penetrated her vagina with a liquor bottle. I don't know how much of that I'm going to play, but and then the moments that she's describing this story, a lot of people came out saying this. She's not even shedding a tear. She's trying to force tears out of her. I'm looking at it and I'm like, can I believe this? Right, the way she's describing it. But I think from all the witnesses that have come up, even her own witnesses, like, they are basically disproving everything that she's saying. And so it's kind of, I don't know what to say. It's a little awkward to watch because like you can see somebody literally just burying themselves. And so I want to say a quote here. I'll let you talk to him. And I don't know who said this quote. I think it's part of the trial or somebody said this, but it was such so poignant. I'm like, this is so true about this whole thing that's happened, because there might be some truths in what she's saying, but those truths are overshadowed by her lies. And so the quote is, lying is bad, not just because it's morally wrong, but because you have to remember your lies and you have to keep them straight. Truth doesn't have that hazard. And so, and you see it unfolding before your eyes. Again, I've been watching this religiously. I have it playing while I'm working. And so I've been following this whole thing. And it's just a slow motion train wreck, in my opinion, is what we're watching. Yeah, Tim.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you know, you mentioned the TMZ photo op that she had.
Yeah.
So I saw somebody posted this. I forget who it was, but they showed her like the perfect photo op with the bruise on her face, with the sad face and everything. And then like the next day, she's out laughing, having a good old time with her friends, and there's no black and blue on her face. And they were like, this doesn't look like somebody that just got beat and raped with a freaking bottle. You know what I mean?
Or yesterday's, right. I think it was, where she's talking about how her face was beaten up and swollen and black and blue. But yet the next morning, like it less like, than yeah. like 8 hours later, right. she's in front of a video camera at one of these galas. And her face is clearly fine. She's not swollen. She's not black and blue. Her nose isn't broken. And she says it's called ice.
Yeah.
Ice and the Johnny's Depp's attorney's like, wait, what do you mean ice? Yeah, if you ice it, it'll go away. She's like, not in, you know, however many hours it was. Give me a break.
I mean, and to amplify your point, you know, I mean, you know, this case isn't just about two crazy Hollywood people. I could care less. I honestly follow the trial a little bit. I've seen highlights. I could care less because I don't give a shit about them. But I do give a shit about what the meaning behind this trial is bringing, right? Because like you said, this has been about, you know, that age old belief. Women always get the benefit of the doubt with everything they say. And when you tell them, like, you do realize women lie. No, you know, you can't say that. Well, this is why I feel that, you know, it is a little political because you see it all over the place. You, in this new mentality with this new wave of progressiveness, whatever, you are found, you're guilty until proven innocent. Due process and our founding principles have always been innocent until proven guilty, right? So I look at this and go, oh, with Hollywood, look at the uproar. But I'm like, you go look at the NFL, guys beat the shit out of the girls all the time and get caught. But you know what happens? If you're still good, guess what? You get suspended a couple games and they forget about it and you start playing again. Yep. You know, like Ray Rice. The only reason Ray Rice didn't get to go back to the NFL after that horrific video of what he did to his girlfriend in the elevator. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was at the end of his career. So no one's going to jeopardize their reputation on a guy that's at the end of his career. You know, other people, you know, Adrian Peterson beat the shit out of his guy, got suspended a year, was caught beating the shit out of his kid with a light socket. Guess what? In the league a year later.
There's a lot of celebrities.
Yeah, Rihanna, Chris Brown, all that. If you're relevant and good, everybody forgives. That's what it comes down to.
What else? And maybe this will lead into a conversation that is a little broad, but here we go. So I think what happens, and we know that this happens, there is a growing segment of society, specifically women, who believe that violence or aggression is acceptable when they participate in it, but it's not acceptable. So for example, if I'm having a conversation with girls, right? And I say, this woman slapped and hit and blah, blah, blah. And then he turns around and shoves her and she falls and whatever, or she, you know, slaps her in the face and leaves a bruise, right? As soon as I say that, people are like, oh, well, you shouldn't touch her. And they're like, well, what about everything that led up to that point? And again, I'm not advocating for violence. I'm not. If you're in that situation, fucking leave, you know, run. But what happens is that people are forgiving. And she said this in her testimony because she has that same mentality. She was recorded her saying, oh, go ahead, Johnny, go ahead and tell the world how I beat you. I didn't even punch you. I hit you. Right. This is how she's talking.
She said, I didn't hit you. I punched you.
I didn't punch you. I hit you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, to me, it's like, imagine if he had said that.
Okay, I got it backwards. It's same shit. It doesn't even matter.
Right. And so
people were like, man up, Johnny.
The second I said that statement that I just said right now, right? A girl's hitting him. And the second that he turns around and does something, the world loses their shit. And is like, oh my God, what the fuck? And it's like, well, hold on a minute. He is going through all this freaking mental, because women are good at that. Women mm-hmm. are good at saying shit that pisses men off. Am I right or wrong?
That and is gross. That no, you know. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there. No? You don't get to say that like what other people are doing is now causing you to have an action. You need to control your emotions.
Yes.
You need to control what's going on and not blame it on anybody else. That's the victim mentality that a lot of people have. That's why we're here.
Right. I agree. But let's say, for example, another scenario, because you watch the murder dramas, right? And you watch a guy who is mentally abusive to his wife, and then she fucking snaps one day. A lot of women will probably watch it and be like, well, I understand her. I completely understand this. Yes or no? Yes or no?
I'm guilty. It's true. No, it's true. I'm like, hell yeah, he got what he deserved.
Understanding. No. Oh, yes, there is a double standard. However, just like we talk about, okay, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying there is a double standard. You always want to talk about just like women and men and the differences. And we know women are not as strong, how our bodies are built. So when you just put them up side by side, let's just say a man is 6 foot and a woman is 5'5". It's like, you're going to beat her. She's going to hit you so hard. That's not going to stop you.
Progressives say women are the same as men.
That's what I'm saying. That's where we start.
I'm not justifying it.
I hear you.
I prefaced it with saying, if you're in a situation, fucking leave, right?
Right.
So now that's been said. But let me make my point, Tim. Okay. So, however, and again, let's just think honestly here and let's not pass judgment, but let's think rationally. I punch somebody, that wound is going to heal. Somebody damages somebody emotionally. How long does that wound take to heal? It's not visible, but there can be wounds that are caused emotionally, and we don't want to talk about that. Look, I've been in a relationship with a woman who was both physically and mentally abusive to the point where like I felt, well, you know, I'm never going to find anybody, you know, as good as her, you know, and I'm being honest with you. I'm opening up to you guys. And I told Tim the story about this, you know, freaking crazy, wild woman who would punch me in front of her kids. Okay. I never touched. I never, you know, went violent, never in my life. But I was in the situation. I walked away. And this woman was like calling me and saying, I'm going to go to your house and at 3 a.m. I'm going to scream and yell and this and that. She was doing all this threat. And I was like, you know what? I said to the Lord, if it happens, just whatever, you know, I'm prepared. I was so done with it. But again, you know, there is emotional damage that happens that I think people see the physical.
Yeah.
People see the physical and they say, oh, look at that poor girl. But at the same time, we have to ask the question, why is this happening? Why are we justifying one side and not the other? And because one side is visible and very, very open, and the other one is very, you know, under the blankets type of thing, and nobody sees it. But I think we should treat both of them the same.
That happens to women too.
Yes, I agree. I'm not denying that. But again, if we look at this trial, her mentality was, and she said it, it was recorded, and this was the only evidence that she provided. She's an idiot, saying, oh, telling Johnny, oh, go and tell a jury and a judge, see if they believe you, Johnny. That me. Whatever, you know, her size is gonna hit you and see who believes you. That's crazy. It's crazy, but that happens more often than not. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I brought up the Ray Rice thing earlier, because if you remember in that video, in the beginning, you only saw what he did to her, where he threw her around like a rag doll. But leading up to that, they were leaving the club. They were drunk, obviously, or they've been drunk. But she was punching him in the face and he was walking away and she kept following him. Then they got into the elevator. She hit him again. And then he finally just wailed on her. You know what I mean? But she followed him. She abused him first. But everybody was focused that entire time on him. And it's like, wait a minute. The evidence was there. I'm not justifying what he did, but nobody condemned her saying that.
Right.
She was instigating it. It was toxic. How come she's not liable for hitting him?
So
she abused him first.
I totally
don't give a shit about men or women and what your strength is.
I totally agree with what you're saying. I agree. I don't disagree that she should have been equally punished and equally, hung out to dry. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Where I'm going to disagree, or where I'm going to have a voice here, is. What I hear you guys saying and what I hear everybody saying when these topics like this come up is, well, the focus was all on him. Well, it was okay because, and it's not okay. It's not okay either way. It's not okay for what she did. It's not okay for what he did. And I don't care if he was self-defending, as you put it, because his life is not in danger. He's not in danger of being killed in the moment of this little lady hitting him. Again, she's not right in what she was doing.
He was
at
walking
all.
Away.
Okay.
And she followed.
But he got into an elevator with her.
And no. He went in first and then she followed.
Okay. Then again, he could have still gotten out of the elevator. Look, same thing for me. If somebody's coming at me, man or woman, I don't care. If somebody's coming at me and they're going to get into my space, I'm going to turn and get myself out of that space. Again, she's wrong, he's wrong. But this is what always comes up. And this is what everybody always says. My mom and dad, when they raised my brother and I remember vividly, my brother one time hit me. He hit me in the back where the kidneys were, and I dropped to my knees. I was in massive amounts of pain. I dropped to my knees. I could not breathe. And my dad came over and struck him one time. And when my brother got on his feet again, my dad looked at him and he said, "You never hit a woman unless she has a gun or a knife." Those are the only two situations for a man, the typical average man, have to use force with the woman. He said, because she is not in danger of her killing you or her. She will never be in danger of killing you or harming you. And a man has the strength to not strike back, but to remove himself and herself from whatever the situation is.
Everything that you said in that story, Heidi, I completely agree with. And that's how it should have happened. But then I say, What should happen next is turn around to a girl and say, if you want to go against a man, understand that you don't stand a chance. But society doesn't say that. Society just says, looks at the man, don't ever do that. But it's like, wait, you're supposed to turn around and say, if you think that you're going to go up against a man, be prepared to fucking die.
So this is what, growing up, this is what I was, instructed or told, is that, of course, as a woman, like, I was always told, do not put yourself in a man's place. And so if a man's doing something and you're stepping to him and you're going to punch him, you're putting yourself in a man's place. So in all fair and whatever war, I was always taught, then he can punch you. Now, should that happen? No, don't put yourself in that place. Right. But secondly, I do believe that if something does happen, a woman's punching or she tries to hit. To Heidi's point, and a lot of us out there, where it's just like, you know what? Walk away if you can't. I know many occasions, because I mean, as if you're a parent, you also know this, and this is a psychology. This is just in our kids, like we are adults, there's kids. It's the same type of thing, not as drastic for men and women, but the same idea is that when your kid is losing control and they're punching and kicking you, you grab them and you hold them. And you hold them so they're not hurting you and they're not hurting themselves. And you have to just wait. And I know it's not always as easy as that, but I do know that that part of being like, you're not going to keep hurting me, but I'm also not going to knock your face off, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I feel like that's should be the expectation of like women. First thing, don't put yourself in a man's situation. Men, don't hit women. And then when certain things happen, let's try to find
Well, and then throw every other factor in there. You know what I mean? 99, it seemed like 90 to 100% of the time, all their altercations was they were shit-faced drunk, partying, MDMA. Mm-hmm. Your mind is altered. I'm not saying that's an excuse because no matter what, you're always supposed to have control over it. But I mean, if you've done drugs, if you've gotten shit-faced drunk, all of us have had things where like, we don't even know what happened last night. Yeah. Not an excuse, but shit happens. You go too hard. You know what I mean? We've all been there. It's not an excuse, but you throw that into the mix with everything with violence. Oh, come on, man. You're just, it's a disaster.
But
right?
It goes back to principles. What are you teaching your kids? What are kids being taught? Oh, it's okay to do this. Oh, they see the social media. They see, if I'm a dude, I'm a man, whatever.
But that's what I'm saying.
I play football. I'll get away with it.
Well,
and I think look how many videos we see. Look how many videos we see in society these days.
Everything that we're
seeing. Men and women.
Right. Everything that we're seeing today is because society is telling men and women that they're the same. They are, folks. I mean, let's not lie, kid ourselves. They are telling men and women are the same.
But only when it benefits these progressives and these women. That's the only time that men and women are the same. This is a prime example. Right. The very same people that are complaining and whining and whatever about this injustice and how Johnny's an abuser and blah, 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 whatever else. They're the very same people that are like, but men and women are equal.
Right.
But women can do everything that men can do, and men can do everything that women can do. Well, wait a minute here. Make up your fucking mind. She's not a victim if that's what the case is. I mean,
it's a walking contradiction.
Let's take that scenario.
It's a walking contradiction.
Let's take that scenario then. Okay, so if society sees a woman getting beaten down and staying with the man, right? Society looks bad at the man. Okay. But if you see a man getting beaten by women, society will laugh at that man. Again, there's exceptions, but this is in general, this is what happens. Society will look at that man. What kind of man is he? Why does he put up with that? Why does he, right? But when you tell a woman, why didn't you just walk away? People will say, well, she couldn't walk away. She could, if she was probably like under duress, or she was probably under this. Well, why can't that be the same for a man? Why can't he be under threat or for whatever? She's going to take away the kids. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. Because there's things that women can do that society is not fair to men. We have to admit these things. And so now the guy's forced to stay in this abusive relationship. And one day he fucking snaps. Again, we're all fans of the murder shows. And we all say, oh, well, you know what? I could understand fucking snapping at that point. God damn it.
I understand the man that snaps and kills his wife, though, as much as I understand the woman that snaps and kills her husband.
And I think that it's not that these things don't happen or that that's not out there, but I think we talk about like the percentage of like, you know, if you go to this, like women killing men and who those guys in jail,
right,
murdering their wives or girlfriends or whatever versus a woman doing it. It's too far, you know.
Men do it more often than you're right. Men are more violent than women. But again, see, this is why the message that we're sending to society and to the next generation are a bunch of fucking lies. If we tell them, folks, we are not the goddamn same. Men are stronger, faster. We're just built differently. And because of that, you have to understand that. And because men, you are stronger, you have to treat women with extra care. You cannot just treat them like they're another man in the
room.
That's
white supremacy.
But we can't say that anymore.
That's white supremacy. That's the patriarch. That's the same nonsense that they're trying to abolish.
This is where I think that we have to be careful. I think it's like, you know, to the point of like semantics and like, what is when we say equal? When I think of equal, when I say men and women equal, I don't, this is me, right? I don't think like, oh, I'm the same as, you know, you, Saul, or you, because like, of our bodies. I know I'm a woman. I understand all those pieces. But when I say equal, do I think like I'm as smart as, in, you know what I mean? We don't have to take an IQ test, but you know what I'm saying? Am I capable?
Yeah.
I think it's the capableness that before was not there. When we go back to the Constitution and everything like that, and being like, okay, like, what does it say? When did women like to vote? All these little pieces of it where we were quote unquote, and really, you know, property. Let's just bring it back there. Women were property and they fought to not be. So I think when we say equal, it's not trying to say like, and I know you can go to sports. You can say, hey, like, I want to lift as much as you. And there's going to be pockets of these people who are strong or pockets of these people who like have this little niche and do these things and are like, you know, I'm just as strong as him or I'm this and that. But ultimately, the equality is literally about, I think, being not inferior or be taking like, just put off to the side and not being property, not just being a thing.
Well, look at the U.S. soccer team, right? They created that bargaining where the men and women are getting paid equal now. They're all equal. Men and women in U.S. soccer is equal. They split the FIFA.
So dumb.
You know,
and women are so much tougher on the soccer field than men.
What?
Oh my gosh. They are such little babies.
Oh, okay. Regardless. But my thing is, but now if the women do good, the men still get half of what they make. You know what I mean? It's like,
but they are still good. They were good. They weren't.
No, but it's equal pay now, right? So it's like the men actually still make more because I guess they have different endorsements and the FIFA fees are different for U.S. or something. But it's like, why? Like they're not equal. They're not
right.
They're not equal. I watch the U.S. Men's World Cup. I don't watch the Women's World Cup.
Women should have equal opportunity. And nobody disagrees with that. Women should have equal opportunity. But what's happening, Samantha, is that they are lowering the standards so that women can participate. And so, and that's an issue. So just an example, and I saw this in one of those shows, reality shows, where they were showing the fire training for mm-hmm. men when they go into that, whatever, I'm going to call it boot camp, but for fire, you know, where they have to go into this room and then push open the door training. To break it in. So then they send this girl in there. Okay. And she's trying to do the same thing. She cannot get past the level. She just can't. And so what happens is they'll be like, okay, Ross, you can't do that, but she still is able to join the fire force. And it's like, this is wrong. This is wrong because imagine it's your family member on the other side of that goddamn door and she can't bust it open. And so we're lowering standards to allow women. But again, I don't think that's how it should be. We should acknowledge that there's a limit.
I agree. And I think this is where we have to take into consideration. And that's where I understand that, hey, to bust open this door, you need to be able to do this. If you can't do it, that's limitation. But what about there's a small crawl space and this woman is tinier and can get through there? So the point is we all have benefits. And like on a fire squad, there's going to be more than one person. So you know the weaknesses, and you know the strengths of each person on your team. And that's why you do it. So you know, but like, and I agree, like maybe then it's, you know, you can't do all of these things, but it doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to participate because I can't do this one thing. What else can I do and still be a firefighter? Like, why? Because I'm not as strong as you. Does that like...
Whoa. I love you. I love you, but I got to disagree.
Turn the water on the host.
No, I got to disagree with this one because this, and being prior military, this is one of the things that was the most irritating thing for me is if we as women, as a collective whole of women want to say, I want to be a firefighter, fireman, firewoman, whatever.
Fire person.
Oh, Jesus. Then I think that the standards should be the same, whether you are a female or a male. And the reason is because in the moment, and this is the same with the military, and in the moment, there's not time in the heat of the moment to think and to go, wait a minute, you don't have the strength. You didn't qualify to carry the hose up the stairs. Stop. Pause the fire, pause the war. Right. We need to get so-and-so over here to do it. Now, if G.I. Jane, perfect example, I freaking love Demi Moore and G.I. Jane. Mm-hmm. And there are women out there that can do this. I mean, yes. We all are capable of it. I've seen, Sammy, I saw you were freaking gorgeous when you went and did that muscle building thing and the competition. There's no doubt in my mind that you had the strength that far surpassed the strength that I would have needed to compete in any of that stuff. And I know other women who go out and they do things that can meet the standards. So it's out there. It's a capability. All women have it. It's whether they want it or not. And I don't think we should change standards just because there's a male or a female. The one thing that pisses me off with the military is we had female pushups. Are you fucking kidding me? A push-up is a push-up.
So
I'm sorry.
It's the same thing. You would literally say that there's a difference between men and women. And so you're saying that the standard that was built is made for a man. So I'm not saying lower it down to shit and where people can't like lift the fire hose. You got to be able to do like quote unquote certain things. And I don't know about like what actually is the rules for that. But the standards were made for men. Women couldn't do it before. So where does the standard come in where you say men can do this and strong women can do this? And you're right. If you can't. Like if you want to be a pilot, you have to pass like certain eye exams. If you can't, sorry, you can't be a pilot. I agree that those things should be there. But I do think that there should also be a delta because we're not men. So like,
I agree.
I can't do it, but that's what it was made for.
Go try and do it and do it. If you want it, you're going to go and you're going to be able to achieve it and to do it. I know many, many women. When I worked in the warehouse, I could pick up the 100-pound wire reel or whatever wheel, and I could pick it up and I could put it on and off the shelf. That warehouse work was a man's job. And here I come in and I was like, nope, I want this job. So I did the job. I met the requirements and I did what I had to do. The thing I was saying with G.I. Jane goes in there and they're like, oh, we're going to let women be in the SEALs, but we're going to reduce all of the things, all of the qualifications so that a female can reach it. And Demi Moore in the movie is like, no, screw you. I don't want to have special treatment because I'm a female. I'm here to show that I am equal to these men. And she was a beautiful woman that could be equal to those men. And there are a lot of women out there. There's a lot of things that I know there's that I can stand up and do just as good as a man can do. And I don't need the standards changed for it. 100 pounds hose has to be carried up a ladder.
So Serena Williams, she said this a couple of years ago, right? In an interview, she's one of the most dominant women tennis players of all
phenomenal.
Time. Right? Phenomenal, great athlete. But she even said herself, she goes, I couldn't even beat. She's like, I went up against like the 100th rank, you know, a really low ranking. Yeah. And she's like, he whooped my ass. She's like, I'm the best female tennis player in the world, but I can't compete against one of the lower end men's ranked tennis players. So that tells you a lot. And that's coming from, Miss Independent, power, all that
time,
shit.
Yeah.
And she's telling you, hey, guys, there is a fundamental difference. And she serves 100 miles an hour, but that guy serves 130. You know what I mean? It's a big difference, right? Again, you played Division I basketball, right? Could you play against a Division I point guard that was 5'10"? Were you better than that Division I point guard? I mean, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
I'm just 6 feet. Yeah, right. But that's even the whole a D3. Point. Like, yeah, that's just, the whole point. Like, you can be the best woman and you're still going to not be here for the man because of the difference, as we said. But that means you shouldn't play or shouldn't get to do it. And that's where I think we just have to have.
But you couldn't play D1 men's basketball unless you're better than those
you
men.
You should be able to, but then demanding that you get paid the same when you don't even draw the same amount of crowds. I mean, men's is more competitive. It's just more faster paced. There's a lot of things that men's sports brings, and people acknowledge that people pay with their feet. They vote with their feet. They go to these, no matter how much they try to, hype up the women's stuff, they're just not as popular.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And it's like, to me, that's like unfair that women are, like he was saying, women's soccer were like demanding that they get paid the same. And it's like, they were going to go on strike. And it's like, stop it. You're delusional into thinking that you rank the same, that you are the same. You're not. And so all I'm saying is that we as a society are not being honest with people. And so I agree to your point that you made. And I, to be honest with you, this is the first time I thought about this way, where you said, hey, a small girl in a fire department could do certain things. True. But my question then would be, well, what are the statistics in that? And how often does that happen? And not to be, I'm going to be a little funny here, but maybe going and rescuing a cat from, like maybe that's something that they could do. And then Tim said, turn on the phones. But hold on. I'll be funny.
Somebody's
got to do
this. No, but I'm being serious. You're on the department.
Give me my firefighter jacket.
Dude, that's
I'm
a vital role, right? Because if you ain't got no water, you can't turn. You can't.
And you know what? A female driver has been proven many a times because of reactions and because of their smaller feet and all those things. Like, maybe that is one of those things that, okay, they're going to drive the fire. But there's just, we shouldn't be changing standards, because if that's the case, then we all need to shut up about the male swimmer who beat the female swimmer at the Olympics.
We're saying that's not right.
If we're going to change rules for the male.
Where does it end? For example, look. If you would have just admitted it to begin with.
The males one. They make female versions.
Let me put it this way.
They do change it.
I'm 5'3". If I go into the, if I was younger and I wanted to go into the NBA and I would have said, I need to be in, people would have looked at me and left, unless I was playing, balling like Muggsy Bogues, you know what I mean? Like, and freaking
and
being
still
amazing.
Like 6 feet.
No, he was 5'4".
He was still not 5'3", okay?
Oh, really?
He was 5'4". Yeah. Muggsy Bogues was
strong. He might have been 5'6".
I was going to say, I feel like
Google it. Google
small,
it.
I know he was tiny because he was one of my favorite players.
Anyway, players look small out there, but
yeah. And so again, imagine me demanding, "Oh, I need this is unfair." Why? No, it's
he
a
was
reality.
5'3". He was 5'3".
He's my height. Unless I'm balling like him, I shouldn't be
going through people's legs.
Yeah,
I would just like to know.
You might have been able to beat Muggsy Bogues.
Stop it! Stop it! Not even on my
the
best
Guatemalan
days.
Guatemalan Muggsy.
The salty bugs.
We got to bring it. I mean,
all right, let's bring it back because we
yeah, Johnny Depp, Amber Heard.
But real quick, I knew it was going to go off.
I knew it.
No. But like, just bringing it back, like to your point with the women's sports, men aren't saying that guy should be allowed to destroy women's sports. Men are sticking up for women, going, this is wrong. This is a biological male.
Yeah.
Says he is transgender, goes in to women's sports and dominates, right? What's next? A transgender male going, and they're there, right? In the US, you know, in cage fighting, in MMA, going up against a female, yeah. beating the shit out of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're still, but again, to your point, you're talking about hitting. You're still coming down with a lot heavier force than a male,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. We just watched slap fighting, right? Two dainty females,
this is the funniest
right?
thing ever.
One had a nice slap. The other one, like, she hit her, and it was just like, did she actually hit her?
Yeah.
But then you watch the two guys go, holy shit, the guy knocked him out. Knocked him out one slap.
One slap. He was knocked out cold.
But that just tells you a lot, right? I'm not saying a woman can definitely knock me out from slapping, even in Johnny Depp.
Let me try.
Any male can be knocked out by a female, okay? Let's be real. If you get hit in the right place, you're going night.
Catch it, yeah.
Let's be real. That's why a lot of guys, when they're trying to don't hit me, it's not because I'm a puss. Like, you could knock me out. Or if you hit me hard enough and you catch me, Tim, it's a reaction.
If Johnny Depp had really hit her and his
with the
lawyers,
rings and the
they were talking about all the rings he had on him. It's like, you're asking her, does he wear all these? Yeah, every time I've known him. So you're telling me that he beat the shit out of you. He didn't say shit, but you know, he beat you. And all that it was, and by the way, they modified that picture. They made it seem worse than what it was. Cause
she never went to the doctor for stitches. I'm sorry, but have you ever seen a man hit somebody with rings on? They are cut up. Yeah. There are stitches. There is none of this covering it up with a little bit of makeup or putting ice on it. Her fucking comment about the ice, you guys, excuse my French. I was like,
liar.
Are you kidding me? I remember trying to get hickeys out and come on.
So I'll say this about this whole case. And I think this is why I've been invested in it, is because I want justice for Johnny Depp. I really do. I think he was just one of the victims of this whole stupid shit that we're dealing with now. Are men more physically able to hurt a woman? Yes, of course. Nobody's denying that. But at the same time, she ruined his career. She did. Well, we'll see what happens, because now he's very popular. And I think mm-hmm. the people are coming back around and to his rescue because they've seen the trial. Yeah.
Well, and they tried bringing him back. I believe the director of Pirates of the Caribbean or the producer reached out to him saying, hey, man, you know, we'd like to have. I think he told him, like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, nah, dude, you didn't have my back. You know, like you jumped the woke culture, because I know you wanted to make a point, Jeremy. So give me a sec. So this woke culture that we've been seeing, especially again, it's with Disney, right? So again, they set the trend of guilty. You know, you're guilty until proven innocent. It's like, nah, homie, that's like you jumped to conclusions. Like you, like after this, if I'm Johnny Depp, I go after them too. Be like, you didn't get my side of the story. You listened to that, and you jumped to conclusions. You didn't. You canned me without hearing all the facts.
Isn't he suing? I thought he had like separate lawsuits going on with.
He might have. I don't know the whole.
The people that I'm did, almost
he,
sure
he lost.
He's
he,
suing
he lost
some other.
The, he's lost some of those trials. So and here's the thing. A libel case, a defamation case in the United States is very difficult.
It's
to
hard.
A lot of people don't think he's going to be able to win. It is very hard to win. So what they're saying is again is that even if he loses, he's already won. Because she's exposed herself to being a liar. Again, let's just go through some facts on this whole thing, because and I was making a list of this shit as I'm watching this. So
she took a shit in his bed.
Exactly. So one of the things that she's been caught again online is this, she claimed that he was an alcoholic and, you know, drug abuser. Well, turns out she was also one. Yeah, because and she was even proud of it, because when Johnny's attorneys were like, you know, saying, hey, well, you know what? It looks like you took this picture of where he supposedly had just done lines, but there's no residue. You know, she says, oh, but there's no residue. And for anybody who's done coke, you know that it fucking leaves residue. And it was like, this looks very clean. There's no residue. And then so she looks at him and laughs. She gives a smirk and she's like, well, you don't know how this works, do you? Like, she was freaking, and it's like,
She's a freaking sociopath.
But I think that's what the angle she's going for is that when she does lose, I think she actually will lose this one, because there's a lot of damning evidence. You know what I mean? And just her saying stuff about getting punched in the face and this, that, and the third. But she's going to claim after all this, and everyone's going to be like, they're taking advantage of a mental person. She clearly has mental issues, mental health, and this is why they're going to turn this into a positive for her based on mental health and go women. That's what they're going to do with this trial. It's already set up.
Well, you know, the day and age that we live in, right? A woman cries foul and the world has to stop and listen and say, believe all women, right? So with that in mind, the demographics of, I think that's the word, of the jury, what they're, you know, what they are and all that. Interesting. And so somebody, you know, there's a guy who was for one of these attorneys at YouTube's went in and kind of observed the jury and kind of gave a description, right? And so this is, again, what they're made of, right? So there's three Asian men, two Asian females, an Indian female, and two Caucasian men, and one Caucasian female. So three white people, four Asians, or actually five Asians, because even Indian is an Asian. And again, these are very different cultures, right? I believe these people are going to, they're going to smell the lies from a distance. And to me, I think that plays in Johnny Depp's favor. Five of them were not wearing masks. Four of them are. I think most of them are women. Yeah. I look at that and I'm like, oh Jesus. Six men and three females. Again, six Asian, three Caucasian. And they were describing, the guy who was observing them was describing their reaction as she was crying and bawling, right? You guys remember that scene where not a yep. tear came out and she was like forcing it. And she went and says, my dog stepped on a bee.
She did coke on the stand.
You know, she did that whole faking cry. Like, what? So the guy who observed them was saying that he noticed that they were like completely toned out. Like they weren't even reacting, no emotion. And so contrast that with the Kyle Rittenhouse, right? A lot of people said that as soon as he started, you know, getting emotional, the jury got emotional with him. So, you know, you can tell that the jury is not buying it. So I think to your point, Tim, that it is that that I think the jury might favor with Johnny here. So that's
all of them,
thing.
Even the judge, yeah. even the judge, the court Maybe. Reporter, the jury. If you go back and you look at when Depp is on the stand and you see the way they react to him, or even just watching the videos or the clips of where Johnny enters the courtroom and the way that he's interacting with all of them and the way they're interacting with him, you can see the, prejudice is such a horrible word to use because of the stigma that it comes along with it. But you can see they favor him. They favor him. There's definitely a clear
demeanor. His demeanor.
Yeah. I mean, she's buried herself to show her cold hearted, ugly, sociopathic behavior when she's sitting and listening to everybody that comes to sit on the stand, whether it's Depp, whether it's the way she tries to intimidate him when she's on the stand.
Her own sister said she's crazy.
Yeah, her best friend or something, yeah. or used to be her best friend.
But her sister was the one that was running her business, and she was like, I think she took the stand, or I think she took the stand and said, she is evil.
Right. But even when this week, when she's on the stand and she's looking at him, she's continually trying to look at him, trying to, like, almost she's a freaking
sociopath. I'm going to kill you. When this is over, you're going
to
die.
Yes.
Is that her sister, Tim, to your point, was sad? I think, and I, again, I'm speculating here, but I'm more than willing to bet everything that I own on this because of what her sister has said. And she said it to her coworkers that that Amber Heard, her sister, is crazy, and that she was fearful for her life and at some point had to leave. From where she was living, because she was living in one of Johnny Depp's penthouses for free, by the way. And so she ends up leaving because she's scared of Amber Heard. And so what I feel is that she's there under duress because Amber Heard's probably told her, I'm going to cut you off from everything if you don't come in and testify. I think that's what really happened there. And so Amber Heard's sisters, they're testifying, but then her coworkers are basically all saying, well, she told us in the office that she was fearful of Amber Heard because Amber Heard was abusive. And in fact, Amber Heard's sister was texting back and forth with Johnny Depp about, hey, you know what? You should probably slap the shit out. Or, you know, she was suggesting that he should hit her own sister. You see what I'm saying? So like this, you know what I mean? Like that's very damning information.
But to Tim's point too, this is setting up with even that, even though it helps Johnny, but for them to try to continue to spin it of in, like the mental issues and health. And
let me go down. I'm going to go down the list of things that, again, just facts here of what we've discovered so far.
Wait, I had a question. It wasn't necessarily a point. It was just a quick question. So Johnny is suing Amber Heard for $50 million for defamation, correct?
Libel.
And she, in return, is suing him for $100 million on the same thing. Basis, right? Yeah. So my question is, does Amber Heard have $50 million? What has she done?
Aquaman.
Other than Aquaman. No. She did not make $50 million from Aquaman.
I'm sure she's got it.
She doesn't Maybe have it because divorce. If she had it, she wouldn't have been depending on a $7 million from Johnny Depp. It's like, because again,
no, she pledged that money. She pledged that money. Come on now. Come on, Saul.
Did you see her? So to Heidi's yes. point, she was trying to make the point that you know, because she pledged it, it meant that she already had given the money to the, I think, $3.5 million to the ACLU and the other $3.5 million to some children's hospital in California. And so they were telling her, but you received the money. Johnny Depp gave you that money. Did you donate that money? Because again, she came out in a show and where she said, well, I don't even want that money. I'm going to donate it. So I don't even care about it. So again, she was trying to draw, you know, the people's approval and everything. So when it came down to it, they asked her, well, did you give that money? You had that money for at least a year and nothing, and you didn't give it. And she's like, well, I've pledged it. And Camille Vasquez, oh, beautiful woman, by the way, goddamn, I'm in love with her. But so she was like, okay, hold on a minute. But did you give the money? Like, yeah, I pledged it. Like, no. It's not the same thing. You haven't given them the money. They haven't received the money. Yeah, but I pledged it. I'm making payments on it. And she's like, and she looks to the jury, by the way, she's been looking at the jury kind of weird the whole time. So she looks to the jury and she says, it's like when you buy a house, you know, you don't pay the mortgage all at once. And so it's the same thing. And so she looks at the attorney. She's like treating her like she's an idiot. And then everybody roasts her online because they say, well, technically when you get a mortgage, the people get paid. Yeah. They get paid.
Well, and the attorney even said when you do a mortgage, it's because you don't have the money in the bank.
Right.
But you have the money in the bank because Johnny Depp gave you the money. He paid you the money. Exactly. It's in the bank. So it's not the same as a mortgage because you actually had the money. Like we wouldn't have a mortgage if we had $100,000 in the bank kind of thing. So same concept.
To your point, Jeremy. She doesn't have the $50 million. I don't think she has. I think she's relying on the $7 million. That's how. I think that's how. Because both of them have a problem. Both of them have an addiction. Both of them are, you know, partying. I don't know how many penthouses they have. It sounds like they're living outside, way outside what, or at least she is. And so she's now in a desperate situation. Realizes that. Guess what? She's probably not going to have any other movie opportunities because they might drop her from Aquaman. I think they might just edit her completely out based on what her Q ratings right now are, and we might get into
that. Are they just replace her like they did with
She's going to be she's got to be replaced. I heard that she even like apparently she has like a really small role now in Aquaman 2 or something. I something came out, but again, I don't fucking know, and I don't care.
I think it's already been filmed, and the question is whether or not they're going to cut her out of the scenes or to Jeremy's points, they might replace her. Yeah. So, and let me just go down this list. So there was an audio recording of her where she's admitting that she cut his finger in Australia. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that they're not even going to use that as evidence in the court because of some fucking technicality. And to me, that is the most damning. So what the attorneys, Johnny Depp's attorneys is they've been going around it. And if other people testify to it, right? If somebody else says anything about it, then what happens is that then they can probe and ask more questions because the witness brought that into the evidence. And so now so there's a weird legal games that are played. Anyway, again, the preface of her divorce and all that, she claimed that she wanted to get away from him, that he was abusive and everything. However, in all the audio recordings that were provided, every single time she's begging him to stay and she's like, I hate when you leave. I hate that you're a monster because you leave. And it's like he's trying to get away from the situation. And every single recording just shows her literally begging him to stay and to not leave, to not become that. And then now she claims that the reason she's begging him to stay is because she knew that he was going to go do drugs. And that's why she's begging him to stay. I swear to God, this woman is freaking crazy. Yeah.
dude, that claim of like how much MDMA he took in one night, he would have been dead. Like, she was even lying about how much MDMA he took in one night. And I think he even came out in the testimony yesterday or today when he was on the stand. And he's like, no, I did not take all that. They're like, why? Yeah. He's like, because I would be dead. Like,
Well, every single turn on this, and I've been kind of invested and I took some notes here. There was another instance where one of her, I think her psychologist, the one that they brought, they asked, has Amber been involved in any domestic violence? Does she have any domestic violence history prior to Johnny Depp? The psychologist claimed that she didn't. Well, it turns out, and according to her own ex-woman, I forget the woman's name, said that, yeah, that they got separated because of domestic violence from Amber Heard. And so this, again, was brought into the case. And so she has a history of domestic violence that she perpetrates. And so there's a pattern here. And I think what's happening with her is that she's gotten away with so much in the past. And I think she felt invisible. And the wind was behind her back when she came out with this. Because, again, believe all women. And she said, here's my opportunity. I could make a name for myself here, get some recognition, and get some movies. And for a while, she rode high. She came out and she was doing Aquaman. She was doing everything. And then now, all of a sudden, right now, she has such a... the ratings that she has and people who dislike her, distrust her, they were showing all that in court. And they were showing, look, because she claimed that Johnny Depp's friend or some third party that he had sent the information about her lies hurt her, and therefore she can't get make a movie anymore. Well, it turns out it's been her own lies. And then there was this expert who came in, a Hollywood expert who, you know, basically scouts for, you know, parts in a movie, came out and said, look, here's a deal. They call them Q ratings, which is basically where a celebrity stands in the public opinion. And they say her Q ratings were already way below before any of this had come out. As soon as she, you know, blamed Johnny Depp for the divorce and accused him of domestic violence, her ratings dropped. So she did it to her own self. It wasn't anything that Johnny Depp did after the fact or the countersuit or anything like that. And they were able to show the numbers on the thing. And these were from experts from Hollywood, who themselves said, look, I don't have any skin in the game here. I don't care who wins here. All I'm telling you is that the reason we're not choosing her is because look at her ratings. Would you? It's like, what? Wow. How embarrassing for her, dude. That's
you know, one of the things we always talk about, and you hear it in the media when they talk about certain things, she is the epitome of privileged. Okay. This is the epitome of what the progressives say that, you know, we all have, you know, white privilege. She's the equivalent. She is the definition of fucking privilege. And you know what? I'll see even fucking, she's the definition of white privilege because she feels that she's above it all. Like everything they claim that conservatives are and everything, because this is the political side of this trial. She is 100% privileged.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too movement.
She's 100% privileged, gets away with doing all this shit because she's a cute girl and people have put up with it. She finally got in check and now people are seeing how ugly she is, right? And people are going to come to her defense and still try to say it's because she's got mental health. No. She's fucking crazy and treat her as such. She doesn't get no special treatment no more.
Is that all these prominent men?
And because they're little cucks.
We're talking Elon Musk. We're talking Johnny Depp. We're talking the other guy, Frankel.
They all dated her. Yes,
That was going to be my question that you just brought that up. Insane. Is how I've heard like Demi Moore and what was the other woman that I've heard women step up to defend Johnny Depp and like he's not that. Thank you. I knew there was I couldn't remember her name.
She took this stand yesterday or today.
So you have these people that are coming to Johnny Depp's defense that were in relationships with him in the past. Like this is not real. But I thought I could be wrong, but I thought I had heard somewhere that Franco that came out and was like, no, she's crazy. She was abusive in our relationship.
I hadn't heard that.
I thought I had heard that or read that somewhere. Let me look. But I haven't heard anybody come to Amber Heard's defense that was in a previous relationship with her. You're seeing it you're seeing it and hearing it in with Johnny Depp and right. his history with his exes. They're, you know, they're standing up and they're coming out to go, no, you're not going to go under. She's crazy.
Go under oath to lie for somebody that's evil. You know what I mean? But, and you're not going to go.
But that's my whole point, right? Is that, that says a lot. When an ex will come up and say, no, no, no. And then there's no exes that are going to come out to defend you. Hello. Like,
well, I mean, and it's not just that, Heidi. It's the one of her major stories, one of her claims that where one of, I think the day that Johnny may have broken her nose or one of those. Three cops, and I think there's like multiple witnesses that saw her that day. They looked at her right in the face, and none of them came to the conclusion that she had been, that she had suffered any type of abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no documentation.
And I mean, these guys get training. The cops get training to identify. Like, I mean, it's like they look at her and none of them, and she didn't even. What's crazy is that everybody's continued to entertain this. I hope he wins. I hope he wins it. And just to make an example out of her, that this bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like that bullshit. That again, she rode high on that whole wave of believe all women. And it just pisses me off.
But it's shame on everybody. Everybody, you know, because again, we've seen it time and time again. Everything can be skewed and spun with a video, a picture, without knowing the full story, right? We automatically jump to conclusions without, you know, hearing it, all the facts, right? Because somebody can say, oh, look at her face. Johnny Depp did that. Boom, canceled. Fuck Johnny Depp. You know, even everybody's protecting him. He did it. He's guilty. No, that is mob mentality. What are the facts? What's his side of the story? Hey, that didn't happen. This is what, oh, wow. You have audio of her saying she punched you in the face and you're leaving and she's doing all this. And she on tape said, yeah, you didn't hit me. I hit you. Whoa, that's a completely different story.
Right.
You're telling a completely, that. But we all jump, you know, everybody, you know, not we all, but a lot of people when it first came out, oh, he's guilty, you know. Right. From his employers to the media to everybody, the Me Too's canceled. Like, that's wrong. We jump to these conclusions without knowing all the facts, and we cause bigger problems, right? And then we got to change laws and we got to do it. But meanwhile, they're getting their way because the squeaky wheel is running their mouth, and we believe them because if they're all saying it, it's got to be true.
Another interesting fact. So in the middle of all this, that she was, you know, scared for her life, right? Because again, this is the picture that they painted before, you know. And Camille Vasquez, and I don't think she was expecting this. I think she caught her off guard. I mean, maybe they knew, but I don't know. I mean, they had to have known, right? Because you have to show the evidence too. But she was so surprised. It was the weirdest expression that I saw from Amber Heard. So the Johnny Depp's attorney says, okay, so during this whole time that you're fearful for your life, Johnny Depp's birthday comes around and you get him a gift. And she's like, yeah, what gift did you give him? Now, let me ask you a question. if you're fearful for your life, would you consider giving a weapon to the person who is the... right. This is how.
Wait, what was the gift? Because I missed that.
Okay,
a knife.
So then she's like, so she says, she's like, okay, you gave him a knife. Now you would think, oh, maybe it was a pocket knife, and everything. She's like, oh, she's like, I gave him a knife. You know, I didn't. She thinks it's like no big deal, and it's like to me that's like so damning. And so she's like, can you bring the knife over? And so is this the knife? Shows her the knife, and this thing was like so huge, fucking looks like a machete. And he says, this is knife. And she's like, yeah. She's like, and Camille is like, can you show the jury the knife that she gave her abuser?
Yeah.
The guy that's supposedly trying to kill her.
The guy that's going to kill her is
But didn't it have an inscription like, till death do us part or something really even creepy on it?
I didn't even know that. I didn't.
There's an inscription on it. You got to look that up. We got to look it up.
I'm looking it up. I got to know.
I see. I didn't even know that. I saw the.
But again, she doesn't make her case anybody. She's like that dumbass that, like, you look at her and you just say, what happened? And you start going, you're like, you know, you're ratting yourself out, right? Everything she's just ratting herself out with everything. She doesn't help her case because everything she does is getting contradicted. Or like you said, she bought him a freaking Ginsu knife, right? Like, if someone's trying to kill you,
oh my God,
why would you give him a weapon? Like, common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense says you don't do that. You know what I'm going to do? If I know Jeremy's violent, you know what I'm not going to do? Buy him a gun for his goddamn birthday.
Did you find
better,
Heidi?
You better buy me a gun.
Hold on. Yeah, you're right. It said, wow. Hold on. It looks like it didn't even, it hasta.
Yeah, it's in Spanish and it's until hasta death.
Yeah.
Hasta la pasta.
Get easy, read it.
Hasta la muerte.
Wow.
Right? Until death. I'm trying to find. Hasta, yeah, hasta la muerte.
So on this knife. To her user.
Fucking psycho. Yeah. Look,
were they supposed to kill each other with that knife? Like, you know, like a double,
like a murder suicide.
Really shoving into each other.
Wow. Look, yeah.
Here's another thing that was very damning to your point, Tim, that she had, you know, she was involved in everything. So again, they try to paint him as an alcoholic, and when he would drink, he would get abusive. Okay. But in every single one of the fucking recordings, she's drinking with him. Now, if you're dealing with an alcoholic, why would you be drinking in front of him?
Oh, in some of them, he's sober and she's partying in front of him.
So,
yeah.
It's like you're supposed to believe this fucking lie. And
this shit hurts your head. But you know what's sad? This is what Hollywood is. That everything that people look up to, and when they all come online and say, we're all in this together. And this is what real Hollywood is, guys. Stop idolizing these people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Stop. These people are fucked in the brain. I don't give a shit. There might be some good, but majority of them are fucked in the brain.
See, and we come full circle because to Heidi's point, money doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah. It buys you a lot of good drugs.
And apparently that doesn't lead to happiness for them.
Yeah. I mean, think about their stories. When you hear their stories, you're going to be like, damn, I wish I had your money. You know what I mean? Because
it's like
yachts and
I'd rather
all
be
these
crying.
Naked women.
And I'd rather be crying, sad in my like Rolls Royce than in like my, you know, one bedroom.
Yeah, actually looks around. She like,
as like
around,
a roach, like,
one
like, a roach crawls across your shoe. Like,
oh my god, stop.
No, but seriously, like to me, it's about balance, right? Like, I want to make sure I want to know that I have enough money so I can go do those bucket list things in life. Where I'm not broke from doing the bucket list. You know what I mean? I got to be able to have a balance in life. And unfortunately, in this society, you need a little bit more money to have that balance because things are expensive. You want to go eat, just even survival. You want to go buy a piece of steak. It's like $30 now in the supermarket.
Well,
I think the
problem is that people want the reward without the work, and which is
you got to work.
She's a victim of this herself.
Privilege
Amber Heard, is because she felt that she didn't have to put in the work of fucking learning how to act. God damn it! And she thought, look, I'm gonna ride this wave of fucking Me Too and be the hero of all women because I came out and I said my truth and blah 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 bullshit.
But she's been
bullshit.
In movies.
She was in other things.
Because
other
she got movies since the early 2000s.
Johnny got her the fucking
early 2000s.
They met Depp and
her. Her first prominent movie was Aquaman. She had little role.
Lead role. Depp, but still,
Depp and Heard met. Depp and Heard met on
set of a movie. Yeah.
On set for a movie, and that's the other thing that I would love to know what the hell were
diary.
Either one of them thinking, huh?
The Rum Diary back in 2011. That's where they met.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never seen that movie.
And me neither. I hadn't heard about it until now. Until this.
Now
the
I'm
going to
watch it.
And I went to go look. Yeah.
Wait, that might have been based on those. The Rum Diary. Those might have been based on those books with Fear, like the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I think it was based on. I think it was based on that book.
Anyways, one of the things that she, like, they keep bringing things up from prior to the marriage itself.
Yeah, it was a really bad movie. But.
And they're bringing stuff up from when they were dating. And I'm looking at that you know, that information and that, and I'm thinking to myself, Johnny, what kind of idiot were you to marry her when she was psycho before you guys got married? Like, there's shit that dates back long before they got married. They dated for, what, 3 years before they actually got married, I think it was?
4 years, 4 years.
But she's hot.
She's a beautiful girl. I mean, let's be real.
Johnny Depp wasn't into her because, oh, you can act.
No, let's be real. He's twice her age and look, twice her senior.
To your point, I did want to show this video here. And again, I think this one of the videos, it kind of reveals her. So apparently Johnny Depp hasn't looked at Amber Heard since that day they split up, and he told her, this is the last, you will never see my eyes again.
Yep.
And so during the whole trial, he hasn't even looked at her. He doesn't look at her, and right. she hates
He's wearing sunglasses.
So he won't even look at her. The whole time she testified, he hasn't looked at her, and she hates it. You can tell. I'm going to show you a video. And this, I find it funny, but I think it's interesting. So let me bring up this video. And he's on the, and I think this is where he was testifying.
This is what I was talking about earlier with, she keeps looking at him and giving him this look, like this sociopathic, antagonistic.
So unfortunately, I didn't save the timestamp on this, so I might be forwarding back and forth here, but bear with me, okay?
Put it on the screen for us, please.
Yeah. Don't yell at me.
So when you have it on in the background, are you going through Rikiti or Wreck-It Media?
No.
Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
Because they're doing like play-by-play on this thing. I
don't like them because you can't hear what's actually happening. They're giving their commentary and you can't hear what's happening in the courtroom.
Because it's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. It makes me nuts. It's like when I tried watching that show with you guys and you wanted to give live commentary to it. And I'm like, just shut up. I can't hear what they're saying.
Oh, the mules?
I don't remember what it was. No, you guys paused with the mules. It was before that. Okay, here we go.
Dr. Evil. There's taking the stand, right there. By the way. Somebody should have told him not to look like Dr. Evil.
So bear with me because I didn't save the timestamp, and I know it's this video, but we'll find it here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Depp hasn't looked at you once this entire trial, has he? Not that I've noticed, no. You've looked at him, though, many times, haven't you? Yes, I have. You know exactly why Mr. Depp won't look back at you, don't you? I do. He promised you you would never see his eyes again. Isn't that true? I don't recall if he said that. One of the last times you ever saw Mr. Depp was when you met him in San Francisco in July of 2016, right? That was the second to last time I saw him, yes. And this was after you had publicly accused him of domestic violence. I got my restraining order before that, yes. Mm-hmm. And this is after you had obtained the domestic violence restraining order against him. That's correct. Let's please play Plaintiff's Exhibit 1229. For the record, it's at 1101 through 1209. I'm going to ask that it be admitted into evidence.
Any objection to 1229?
Yes.
All right. 1229. You want it entered in its entirety?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1229 entered in its entirety. Go ahead and play your section.
It's very hard to hear.
I don't understand. Is this what you want?
No. Oh, no. A hug will save it all.
I just wanted to touch you.
Really? After all the shit you just said?
I just wanted to give you a hug.
After all the shit you fucking accused me of?
Yes, please. Please stop. Please, I just wanted to hug you. Say bye. I wanted to end that.
No, because I'm nothing to you. And I will always be nothing to you.
Calm.
You can barely hear that part.
You on the neck, don't take my fucking glasses off. You don't like fucking looking at not my fucking eyes? You will not see my eyes again.
That's you and Mr. Depp in that recording.
That is.
And this is from when you and Mr. Depp met in San Francisco in July of 2016, right?
Yes, that's what it sounds like. That was in the hotel. We met once after that as well.
This is after you publicly accused him of domestic abuse.
Yes. and got my TRO.
Yeah. And he tells you you will not see my eyes again, doesn't he?
Yes, he does in that recording.
And he kept that promise, hasn't he?
As far as I know, he cannot look at me.
He won't look at you, right, Miss Hurd?
He can't.
One of the first questions your counsel asked you on...
All right. So I mean... Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
He can't.
I have a question. What is the big deal? I mean, I can understand it being, you know, hey, I hate you. I don't ever want to see you again. I don't want to look at you again. But why are they bringing it up as such a big thing in this trial?
I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
And again, this is not my own assessment, but when I heard it, I said, this is brilliant. So the reason they're doing that is because they're painting his attorneys are painting him. By the way, Camille Vasquez, that was her. It's fucking beautiful. I'm in love with that girl. I'm gonna marry her.
Hey, change your display, dude. We see your entire apartment.
Oh shit, sorry.
Good thing you ain't got the sex doll out.
that's the security cam. Anyways, so one thing, the reason why they're doing that is because they're painting Johnny Depp as somebody who keeps his word, while in contrast you show her being sporadic. Yes, and so meaning that, you know, he's true. And a lot of people who have testified have said this guy, when he says he's going to do something, he does it, and that's the type of man that he is. So again, they're building this picture or creating this picture of him. Now, is he that way? I don't know, but to me it made sense. Now, here's another thing, is that they're not saying it overtly because, and again, this is not original to me, is when people come to a conclusion on their own, they're able to be more loyal to that idea because they feel, I came to that on my own. Whereas if they feed it to them and they tell them, see, Johnny keeps his word, then people are like, well, that's what you want me to think. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why it's a little subtle. And the contrast that you see with freaking Amber Heard begging him. That's the other thing too, to your point, Saul,
is that, you know, how many times did they bring up that she had a restraining order? Wait, she has a restraining order? Yes, she goes to him in the hotel,
yes,
and she's begging and pleading with him on recording. I just hug me. Just hold me or hug me. Yeah, she wants this physical contact and physical touch. And yeah, I just want to touch you. Can't we just say goodbye? And it's like, well, wait a minute here. You're scared of him. Remember, he's been abusing you. Remember, you got a restraining order, but yet you're so scared and you need this order so bad that you are going to him to his hotel room. And I love that she said twice. They saw each other twice after the restraining order. And she's begging and pleading for his affection and his touch. Yeah.
Look, here's another thing that you have to take into account. Right. So if you saw that video, right, the attorney asks her, he won't look at you. Right. She's like, he can't. And the attorney's like, no, he won't. And then so she looks at the jury. She's like, he can't. And because of this, and she does this like so confident and so arrogantly, in my opinion, like if you look at her, that doesn't look like somebody who, you know, was forced to live through an abuse, you know. That somebody who has been through that, in my opinion, doesn't act that way, right? They're a little bit more timid. Yeah. They're more like, you know what I mean? Like they're scared.
She's cocky.
Exactly. So in my opinion, she seems like a very manipulative person who's trying to act, like I'm the victim here and you need to believe me. Cause the whole time, she looked at the jury the whole time, every answer that the attorney's asking her. The attorney asks the question and she looks at the jury to answer the question as if the attorney is not important enough to answer the question too. She's like, oh, you asked the question? Okay, well, I'm going to give my question here. Like, I don't know. She just comes across as so like fake and arrogant and I just...
Stardom. She's trying to like, you know, all eyes on me, right? I'm the star. You're in the room with the star. You have this opportunity to see me and Johnny, you know, Johnny Depp, one of the most famous, you know, influential actors of, you know, the modern era, not the old, you know, but he's been around since the 80s. He was a staple in the 80s, staple in the 90s, Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, the guy is a star, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, all eyes on us. And look at me, because you're in my presence. You're in the presence of a star, an A-lister. You're privileged, you know, like you should be happy to be around me. So listen to me. Fuck you, bitch. You're crazy. You know what I mean? It was Indian. You guys probably like, no. Like, yeah, you'd be stoned.
But it's interesting how her, like, to your point, like, her camp is just like, yeah, that's great. Like, go ahead. Like, look at them. Like, you would think there'd be some coaching and been like.
Because they know they ain't got a case.
But they're going to get paid so either way. Yeah.
Well, they're like, yo, try to manipulate.
What's interesting is that the guy who was a witness, who was jotting down notes and just to see the jury's reaction during that whole testimony. What he was saying is that, and he was describing this whole video of when she was crying, and she was looking at the jury, and you can say that he was describing play by play, and he was saying, look, if you look at her at this moment, she's looking for anybody in the jury who is looking at her and who she can convey her message to. And then you see her scanning the whole, the panel. And then, he said that at that moment, the jury was really disattached from the whole thing. It was just an awkward moment. The whole time she's emotional and crying, the jury is just like not even in it. They're just, some of them are looking away, some of them are writing down. Like described the moment as a little awkward for the jury. Like, in other words, they didn't believe her. They weren't even drawn in to her acting.
Yeah, if they probably would have put her on the stand day one, they would have believed, right? Maybe. Before a lot, you know, if she would have got on the stand right away and said her case and cried, she would have had the emotional. But once you hear for a week and a half straight of all the crap that came out, and then you see her emotionless, like she was acting like she was crying, but not a single tear came down, bro. Like, bro, like you're crazy. Like you're an actress. Like your job is to be able to show emotion, and not even a good one. But you know, better than us, right? But.
We've done the little skits that we've done, and man, I'm telling you.
Stop it. Anyway, but think about it, right? Like, it you show no emotion.
You've come on in my movies. And, come on, man. You were the Dark Knight. Come on now.
And then you never even acted. And then you
this guy.
You know, you hear her craziness, but then she's trying to translate being victim after you heard her her admitting to punching him, hitting him. Not punching, hitting him. She took a dump on his bed. She is an alcoholic, all the drugs, and the stories aren't lining up. And then she's crying, acting victim. And she gave him a knife. None of it adds up. Like your story, your emotion, whatever, you lost it. You would have had me on day 1, 2, 3, but after that, you lost me because I got to see who you really are. You're a liar. You're lying to the jury right now. So, you're insulting my intelligence because a lot of people are usually pretty intelligent, you know?
Yeah.
And she thinks people are dumb because I'm Amber Heard. I'm hot and I get everything I want in my entire life. No!
I'm sorry, but I don't see her to be very pretty up there on the stand.
No, because she's just ugly.
She's deteriorated.
Is it just me? But I'm looking at her going, she is not a beautiful woman. Oh my gosh.
She's a little.
Everything and you would think that she would doll herself up or have her.
But that might have been somebody, part of the.
Look at her. Look, there is nothing attractive about her there.
Right, because they got to make her look as
homely.
She's damaged from all this. Like,
I don't know.
She's got to play victim. If she comes out looking glam, like, you know, this.
You know what I mean?
She's got to look like this is taking a toll on her life. She's trying to win a libel case.
This look is not it.
No. I feel that look
They're
to
giving
me,
her bad advice.
That look to me is that she's going out of her way. She's trying too hard. Yes. That's what that looks like to me.
Dr. Evil.
And it just is not. I've been to court more times than I care to try to count. And I'm sorry, but when I walked in that courtroom, I looked top notch. I went out, if I didn't have it, I bought my best suit, some of my best attire.
Well,
I bought
she's dressed
so that
nice.
I could go into the courtroom
and
I
dressed nice.
I did my, I
she
did my like makeup. I did my hair. I looked like
Inspector
I looked my best. I don't know. She's
all right. So we got to close it out, but, I think I do want to show one bit. So to reiterate my point from the beginning, even if Johnny Depp loses this libel, defamation, hard to prove in the U.S. So even if he loses this, I think he's already won because he's won the public opinion. And this is evident all over social media. People are coming to his defense. I want to show you one video of a TikTok trend where they're basically making fun. They're roasting Amber Heard, and then we'll close it out. So let me just show this video.
She's not going to win either. I mean, neither one of them are going to walk away with anything.
I can see Johnny winning.
My dog stepped on a bee.
My dad has to pee.
My mom's stuck in a tree.
My squirrel got bit by a flea.
Without my glasses, I cannot see.
I love it.
My dog stepped on a bee.
My dog stepped on a bee. Let me cry real quick.
My dad has to pee.
Bro, like,
you are ruthless. The memes
and like, this is the best part of this entire saga.
The internet wins every time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But it proves the left. Right. The left still can't meme because those are all conservatives probably making that
a love hate relationship.
Any predictions on what do you think will happen on this case?
I think Johnny's going to win.
I think so. Wow. I hope so. I hope he does. I don't know if he can.
I hope he wins.
He's not
going to
get 50.
But I have to agree with you. I think it'll be a stalemate.
I don't think he gets 50 million. I think he'll win, but they're going to be like, look, I don't know. You know, I don't know about the 50, but you know, you'll get some paintings. So, you know, he'll win, but I don't think he's going
to
get the
pay
money.
It, but it never will.
And then a week later, you'll see them in L.A. together, you know, buddy-buddy.
I don't think that'll happen. I don't think that'll happen.
That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I think he's Lifetime movie. I think they she's dead to him.
They got a Lifetime movie to be made about them. I can't wait for the fucking trip.
He might look at her. All right. What do you think, Heidi? What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a stalemate. I mean, I hope and I pray he wins because that would be amazing and phenomenal. And But I think you're right. I think it'll end up being a stalemate, and he's won because of what he's going to get out of it from the public.
True. Hallmark video,
Sammy. What do you think? Predictions.
I think that she's not going to win, but I don't know what winning truly means for him either. Like, I don't think she has the 50. You know what I mean? Like we talked about. Yeah. So like, what would it really be? But I do think that he's gotten a lot just from being on the. You know, he's winning right now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I said. He's not going to probably get the 50, but I think he'll win the case. But he might not get the monetary. But a win is a win.
Name cleared. If you can get your
endorsements back, you're like, all right.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want him at this point.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Right. No one's going to quote unquote win in this case except for the lawyers because they're cashing out left and right. And as far as the trial, I don't think either side are going to win, right? It's going to be a
stalemate
or whatever. Yeah. And, but like you said, I think Johnny will come out of it smelling better than they went into
it. He looks like he smells.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We try to mix it up a little bit with, you know, kind of avoiding politics sometimes because I was telling Tim, man, sometimes it's just too much. I need to take a break.
It's out of control.
On the next episode, we'll go back to it because there's a lot of shit that's been happening. So on the next episode, we'll talk a little bit about politics, about everything that's been happening. But again, thank you for joining us. Find us on some of the social medias. I think we're now on Rumble, and we're getting some help. We got a new teammate who's going to start helping us with a lot of the social media. So you're going to be seeing a lot more posts from us. All right. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag. And one more real quick thing. Let's remember what this weekend is that's coming up. And remember our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our fathers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, and our moms that died for us so that we can even sit here today and have these conversations on Memorial Day weekend.
Amen. I love it.
Sammy Joe signing off.
See ya. Thank you for listening to this episode of the
SaltySalty.com.